lots of things to pray. There's never a shortage of things to pray about, outreaches and inreaches. And you want to spend your private time with God, of course, and all of this, and allow Him to lead you in prayer. Ask Him to bless the different things that are going on and the outreaches, even the things that we do on a regular basis, of course. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're in John chapter 6. Glory to God. Great sharing time this morning, and we are out of time. No, I'm just kidding. I very much enjoy that. So I'll try to squeeze in a little word here. I think it's so important. It's so critical. Don't let this be the sum total of what you get out of the Bible. I hope that's not it. It's just something to wet your whistle on a Sunday morning. The great content of what happens on Sunday morning is the share time. It's hearing the body of believers getting together and each sharing different things. That is one of the most significant things that I think brings glory to God when we join together like that. So very important. Awesome. Chapter 6, verse 44, picking up there. Chapter 6 of John. Jesus says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day." We sang about the resurrection today. We sang about him coming on the clouds, that he's going to gather his bride. That's an event that is drawing near. Every day we get closer to that event, I can tell you that. I can't give you a calendar date, but I can tell you that every day we get closer. And I can safely say that because it's true. Jesus said, "The time is now, and the time is coming." So it's a reality that we live in. It changes and shapes our life in the daily basis, at work, at Walmart, wherever we are. That fact changes us. It shapes us. But also we know that it's happening in the future. It's coming. So it affects us today, and it's in the future at the same time. He said it's now and is to come. So the resurrection, Jesus gathering his church, is just one form of that. But also the graves are going to be opened up, and they're actually going to be received to the Lord first. The graves are going to open up, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. And then we're going to meet with him in the air, it says. Okay? Pretty cool. Verse 45, it is written, we're going to talk more about resurrection. I'm not going to leave that there unattended. We're going to dwell on that today. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. It is written in the prophets, and this is what it's written, and they shall be taught of God. And that's the quotes right there. "Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned the Father comes unto me." So Jesus is telling them that you've already been witness to, there's already been a testimony that's being demonstrated from the Father, and that's by the prophets, what's been spoken. They testify of Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at what he's quoting here, and that's actually Isaiah 54. So go to your left there, a couple inches deep back, Isaiah 54, and Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament there. He's saying verse 13 there. Chapter 54, verse 13, he's saying, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." So this is a promise of God that your children, your descendants, generations to come, will have a witness and testimony from God. Let's read up to that point, starting in verse 1 of chapter 54. "The prophets of the old spoke of Jesus to come." So we're going to look at what a prophet is here. Isaiah is one of those prophets of old. He's one of the famous ones. They call him the major prophets because there's a lot of biblical pages given to him. The Dead Sea Scrolls. Anybody hear what the Dead Sea Scrolls are? The whole book of Isaiah is one of those books that was found, you know, thousands of years old, is close to the original time that it was written. And that's amazing that it would be preserved. Just a kid James' age was out throwing rocks into a cave like kids would do. You know, just nothing better to do. Let's throw rocks in the cave and see what comes running out. And he heard, "Tsh, what was that?" You go in and check it out, and there's these scrolls. And kid, man, he hit the jackpot. It's better than the lottery that, you know, to find something like that. Wow, there was an excitement and a charge through the whole world that the Bible was found. And, you know, the big deal was to find, did anything change? Is it still like it was when it was written 2,500 years ago? Answer, yes. It was a very fragile document, obviously, for thousands of years. And it was just a couple of years, something on around the house, and it disintegrates. So is this the miracle of God that he would confirm that? In Isaiah 54, it would be one of those things that was discovered by this little guy. as he threw that stone. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. The barren means the empty woman that can't conceive and give child. So it's something of, she's in a place of sadness, emptiness. Sing, O barren, barren means empty, that thou didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Thou didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. So there's inklings that God's speaking to a people called Israel. He's speaking to the Jewish nation, but also there's going to be a great communication to the whole world, all the Gentiles. So enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. I was literally doing it this morning. It was about 4:30 in the morning. Heard rain beating against the windows, and I was like, strange, that's funny nice weather this weekend. And then, it was supposed to be sunny all weekend, I thought, and it's just whoosh, hitting the windows. I'm thinking, oh no, we got the roof on the tent, but we kind of like just barely put some things on it. And so I go down there in the dark, and beautiful out though. It's 71 degrees at 4:30 in the morning, October 8th, And so I'm doing that. I'm strengthening the stakes and lengthening the cords and doing exactly that, enlarging the tent to reach people for the kingdom of God. So it was a cool morning in that aspect. And there it is right in our teaching in the prophecy that speaks of Jesus Christ, the Father God giving testimony to Jesus. What is he teaching? He's teaching about Jesus. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. That's the rest of the world, not just the Jewish nation. And make desolate cities to be inhabited. God is about filling. He's about going into that barren woman, whatever it is, that life that feels empty. He's about filling those voids. You see that in the beginning, the very beginning, chapter 1 of Genesis. Just this big formless void. There was nothing there. Whatever nothing is, that's an interesting discussion in itself. And God spoke to that nothing. He said, let there be light. And then he filled that nothing with things. Light, time, space. So that's the God we serve. That's the God that created everything. That's the God that loves you and died on the cross. Fear not is the message of the Lord this morning. Chapter 4. This is for you. Okay, hear it from God right from heaven right now to you. Don't fear. Do you want to know what God wants to tell you right now? It's that. Fear not. Dick Anthony was sharing that this morning. Don't be afraid. He's saying, hey, show respect. Don't show arrogance. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to share the gospel. Maddie was also bringing that forth. Simeon was bringing that forth. Several others heard that tied in with what was shared this morning. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Fear not. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. What's he given us? Three things, triple on top of that. Power, love, and a sound mind. Isn't that awesome? Or you can have fear. It's your choice. You can have a life of fear and that soup and that cesspool that comes with that. A life of fear. You're afraid about what your friends think about you. You're afraid about, you're whatever. Somebody's not going to like you. You're afraid about what's coming tomorrow. So, and then in that fear, you find all kinds of comfort and you seek worldly things to kind of put that fear off, and you drown yourself in the TV, drown yourself in different things. And that's just the life of fear. And it's a bowl of soup that's really nasty. And that's your choice. You can have that. You can have that bowl of soup. Or God is saying you can have this one. You can have power, love, and a sound mind. And that all comes in the Holy Spirit. I've given you the Spirit. I've provided the Spirit. Praise God that he's made a way for that Holy Spirit to come and be possible to dwell inside of us. If you knew how holy God was, I don't even know. I just have an inkling. I scratch the surface of it. But if we have any idea of how beautiful and powerful and holy he is, we would appreciate even more Jesus dying on the cross, because it is his dying on the cross that made it possible for us to receive the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, like flowers inside of a pot. Just a plain old vessel holding beautiful bouquet of flowers. But it wasn't possible for that vessel to hold anything because it was chock full of sin. It was chock full of sin. The holy God would not dwell in that. So it took the Savior coming down from heaven, God the Son, dying on the cross, that cleansed me and you. You're sitting in chairs now that are scarlet red, I think, for a purpose. Because you're sitting in the blood of Christ. You're covered in the blood of Christ. It's all around you. It cleanses you. You don't have to feel condemned. You don't have to feel like you're less than something, but beautiful. You can feel beautiful because God has declared you so. You can feel spotless because God has declared you so. You can feel like a child that's been adopted because God has declared you so. Fear not, all in two words. Thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. Thou shalt not put on shame. Thou shalt forget shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. Far as the east from the west, it shall be buried in the sea. That's the God we serve. For thy maker is thy husband. Beautiful. How many people have hung on to those things in lonely times? Thy maker, your creator, God himself, is your husband, is your wife. In those lonely times, that companion that we need, the Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Man, he is a companion. He's a comforter. I'm just feeling the Holy Ghost right now and the power that he brings and the comfort that he brings. Gretchen was sharing something about a grief group that meets. And it's interesting, the night before, they had been discussing that at the prayer group she attends on Mondays, the Epic prayer group. Been going on for over a year now. And they were discussing that, getting people plugged into that. And so the next day, there she is at Wegmans in the line. And the guy's coming through, and it looks like he has the weight of the world on his shoulders. She says, "What's up? What's wrong?" "My son's dead." Just straight out plain. No beating around the bush. "My son's dead. He overdosed." He's just like walking in a fog. 22-year-old. About the same age as my son. God had equipped her, and she was ready the night before because she's faithfully in prayer. Folks, we got to be equipped in prayer. We got to be prepared. We can't neglect prayer. What's our favorite thing to neglect? That's the thing we need the most is prayer. We can't neglect prayer. You feel like you're drying up. You feel like you're confused. Get back in the prayer closet. Do time with God. He's not only going to heal you. He's not only going to quiet your soul. But he's going to equip you for the things to come. So you're not there like a deer in the headlights. You're ready to receive. You're ready to give. Praise you, Lord. It's a lot different world we live in today. Now, how are you doing? Everything's fine. It's heavy out there. It's heavy out there, and God has called us, and he's equipped us with the artillery that we need, the equipment we need to shoot down the things of fear, the things of doubt, the things of hopelessness, the bondages that are out there. He's given us that equipment. Let's wear it faithfully. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou was refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. There's his heart. You want to hear the heartbeat of God when you're in the Word of God. You're not in the Word of God to beat your brother or to beat your wife or to whatever, to win an argument. You're in the Bible to hear the heartbeat of God and to have your heart sync up to his, to be changed and transformed in the image of his son. You're in the Bible to hear the heartbeat of God. It's there. It's living. It's powerful. It'll divide with his flesh. Let him take care of. Let him do the vengeance. Vengeance belongs to him. He does it well. He's a great judge. He does all of that perfectly. When we get to heaven and all of this stuff, all these mysteries will come to our foreknowledge. It'll be amen, hallelujah. Right on, God. You did it right. You're perfect. You're holy. That'll drive us into an eternity of praise and glory with him. For this is the waters, it says in verse 9, of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so shall I have sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. The guys last week at the football game sharing and how the rainbow just stretched over the field. Anybody see that at the football game last Friday? The clouds split and the rainbow stretched over just as the gospel was going out. There was evangelism going on in the benches. And thank you, Jesus, for that. We know all sorts of stuff going on under the benches and spoken stuff and, you know, all that stuff. Those are the things we're familiar with. But there was something else going on, I'm telling you, last Friday. The gospel of God, and there it is right there. There it is right there in that verse. I would not be angry at you. We're preaching the love of God. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe, whosoever. There's the little, the small, the tall, the young, the old, the one in the wheelchair, the one that is weird and strange, is dressed differently, a different skin color, whatever it is. That God loves them. That God loves them. It's a common message. That God loves them. They can come out of their obscurity. They can come out of their fear. They can come out of their entanglement with sin. They can come out of their smallness and be brought into a large place of freedom. In the kingdom of God, man, there's such a vast, beautiful freedom. I love it when people come up to the house and you're invited next Sunday after church and we have our picnic to come up there. You just get up on the top of the hill and you get to see, wow, what a beautiful view. And that's just to get a picture, just a tiny picture. That's a picture of it, but it's just a little inkling of the kingdom of God and the vastness that's there. And the freedom and the expanse that we're brought into. In the presence of God. I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. And because he has things for me to do down here. Until that time, though. Until I'm in his presence. And it's mind-boggling. How can we... I'm going to get to that. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. My kindness. You know, the church in the end days, you know what's going to happen? It's going to apostate, folks. It's going to apostate. That means the kindness, the love, the fruits of the Spirit are going to wane. They're going to shrink back because of all the evil that's going on, iniquity, going on around us. But not with God. His kindness shall not depart from thee. We need to be anti-apostate. We need to be anti-apostate and cling on and hold on. As that song sang this morning, man, we're going to hold on to that love. We're going to hold on to that love. No matter a thousand are falling to the left and to the right, we're going to hold on to the love of God. We're not going to become callous. Neither shall be the covenant of my peace be removed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for that. We've given you plenty of reasons to remove that covenant of peace. We've given you plenty of reasons, God, and I'm here to thank you for your grace, that your peace remains upon us, that the chastisement of my sin was on your son, and that your peace remains upon us. I thank you for that, God. The peace be removed, saith the Lord, that has mercy on us. Amen. I'm falling apart up here. Amen. O thou afflicted, tossed with the tempest, and not comforted. This is just from the verse that Jesus was sharing. It just brought us into another place. He's saying, you guys should know this. The Father has been given testimony of who I am. And here we are just taking a peek in that window that Jesus was clearing a little bit with the Windex. And we're just enjoying that vista. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, that's precious gems, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows crystal, and thy gates carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. Yeah, do it, God. Do it, God. If there's anything that I'm resisting, if I'm playing tiddlywinks, if I'm playing jacks, or I'm playing marbles with something, and you've got all this blessing and powerful stuff that you want to bring down from heaven, and I'm like, no, God, I want to play marbles a little more with this little thing. God, take it away, please. Take it away. I don't want to be missing from these things that you have. God, rescue me from my smallness, Lord God.
Rescue me from the things that cause me to be in little tiny boxes and ineffective for you. Release me, God. God, you have such great things. It hasn't entered into the mind or heart. It hasn't entered it. It hasn't even knocked on the door. It hasn't gone into the heart of mind of man. The things that God has prepared for you and you and you. It hasn't even entered in. Man, it's huge. It's awesome. Get rid of the smallness. Shake off that little thing that's been nipping at your heels. Shake off that snake and move forward with God. He's got big plans. He's a big God.
And verse 13 is where we left, where we were brought to. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the vortex of your promises. It's like you step into this powerful thing. It's like, is that for me? You bet it is, man. You bet it is, woman. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. I want to step into that, God. Can I step into that, God? Can I jump in that pool, God? Can I now? Can I jump in? He says yes. Yes and amen. Oh, the promises of God. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Lord, we want to claim that right now. We want to step into that promise and believe. Every step that we take is one of belief. Every step that we take is a rejection of what we see with our eyes, rejection of what we hear with our ears. That's in the natural. We're going to have the eyes of faith and the ears of faith. We're going to be totally convinced, Lord God, because your promises are true. They're yes and amen. We're going to step into them, God, and receive. We're going to be rescued from our smallness, Lord God. Great things are going to happen in this community, Lord Jesus Christ. People are going to come through the line of Wegmans and say, guess what? Guess what? My child is saved. My child is saved. Thank you for putting up a tent. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for passing out a piece of literature to me. Thank you for visiting me in the street, coming to my house. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, as we step forward in your power and your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. We just need to stop here today. I had a lot more, but this is where we're stopping. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I thank you for the words that were shared today. It's beautiful how beautiful your bride is, God. How beautiful your bride is to hear them speaking your words. How lovely. How lovely, Lord God. Just flowers opening up in your garden, God. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I give you glory and praise, God. I thank you, Jesus. We pray your holy hand over those that couldn't be with us today, Lord God. You know that we are still with them in the spirit, Lord. We're still joined together. We pray for them, Lord God. Healing where it needs to be healing. Encouragement where it needs to be, Lord God. We pray for release for those people that are just about ready to join and want to join in the assembly, Lord God, and want to be part of your community, Lord God, to be part of your bride. We thank you, Jesus Christ, that that's happening. Help us enter into your fellowship this week, Lord God, whether it be in the valley of the shadow of death or on the top of the mountain, Lord God. We know there's a table prepared for us. We know, Lord God, there's a table prepared for us. We know you're that kind of God, God. We thank you, Jesus, for that. We can step in that faith and expectation. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. We come against any fear and any doubt that's in anybody right now, that you don't measure up. You do. You measure up because Christ did. He's inviting you to what he did. He just wants to trade. He wants to trade your sorrow for his joy. He wants to trade your imperfection for his perfection. It's a great trade, folks. Receive him this morning. Receive him this morning in the fullness of this joy. We thank you, Lord God.